Coming up on Chasing the Natty, it is championship week for the 2024 college fantasy football season, and congratulations to each and every one of you that have a matchup to play in this week. A lot of you submitted some start sit questions, and guess what? Surprise, we are going to answer every single one, or at least one per person that has submitted one this week. So we will get to that here in just a second. We've got all of that and more coming right after this. This is Chasing the Natty, a college fantasy football podcast. All right, welcome in everyone. This is Jared Palmgren, host of the Chasing the Natty podcast. I hope you guys are having a wonderful ride to your work on this Wednesday afternoon. As we're recording this, I guess I can't even say Wednesday morning anymore. We are the College Fantasy Football Podcast on the Campus of Canton Podcast Network. You can find us on all of your podcast feeds and on YouTube every Monday and Wednesday morning during the regular season at 6 a.m. sharp. If you want to support the great work we're doing here, head on over to campusofcanton.com, subscribe there with any of our extraordinary tiers. You'll find everything you need for your CFF, Devy, C2C, betting needs, whether that's articles, rankings, projections, tools, and even more than that. You can also find me and the show on Twitter. I'm at @CFF_Jared. The show is at Chasing the Natty, and unfortunately, Mr. Justin Leo, a.k.a. Volume Pigs, could not join us this week for the Start Sit show. So I went and grabbed the next best thing, a guy that doesn't have to do start sits in any of his leagues, Mr. Nate Marquise. Nate, welcome onto the show, man. Always a pleasure to have you on, man.
Yeah, nothing like having on the guy that that never makes these decisions to try to help everybody out to make these decisions in the most crucial week of all, the championship week.
Well, the good news is you're an incredibly smart guy, and therefore you're going to be able to help these guys out with these questions. So, as you said, Nate, it is championship week, and as I kind of alluded to there in the intro, we're not going to do the normal start sit show here today, mostly because, again, similar to the waivers, right? Everybody's off bye. You have your full strength teams right now. You should be, if you are at this point in the season, you should have a pretty solidly built team to the point where you're not really needing to rely on the waiver wire or deeper options to kind of get you through this week. So we're going to move past that, and we're going to focus solely on the fan submitted start sit questions. Again, you guys have worked hard to get to this point, so I made it a point to answer at least one question from everybody who has submitted a start sit question this week. As a reward for you guys making it this far, we're going to help out as many of you guys as possible this week. But before we get into that, Nate, man, it's championship week. You got any championships you're fighting for this week? I know you got the Dynasty League, but anything else?
Yeah. I'm in both of the 2014 Dynasties that I play in. I am in the championship with those. One of them I'm playing against Justice, so that should be fun. Both of us have pretty stacked teams. And then my 2014 dynasty that you're in with me, I've returned back to the title game for that one. So hoping to make it a repeat. We'll see what happens. It should be really interesting.
You'll be fine. You got GNT, you got Matera, you got all those guys. I don't know. You got Caleb Johnson. I don't know how you lose that, man.
He's got a good squad too. So we'll see what Fab Falco comes up with, but he's a really solid owner too. So we'll see, man.
Yeah. I got brutalized last week. It was absolutely rough. Nash and Lockhart killed me. It's nothing more frustrating than being the number one team in a league by a good margin, and then just for some reason it just doesn't work out in the playoffs. That happened to me in two leagues. One was the Kings Classic. That one hurt a lot, but there was nothing I could do in that league. I had a squad that hit 210, which is solid for that league. I just happened to be facing Dwight, who had both Devin Neal and Taj Brooks. And so, like, there's just nothing you can do when the fantasy gods decide that you're just done.
Yeah. That's brutal, man. That's brutal.
And then again, like I said, Nick Nash and Justin Lockhart and a bunch of just disaster after disaster for me last week. It was rough. I went 1-4 in semifinal playoffs, but I got one championship still to play for this week, so we can still bring one home. It's all good though. But yeah, we got a lot of questions here, Nate. So I think we can go ahead and hop right on into this here.
Let's do it.
So let's head on over to our sit start questions for this week. Again, we got I think in total we have like almost 20 questions to get through this week, but you'll see when we get to the quarterbacks that we're probably going to run through those relatively quickly, because outside of one question, I don't know, maybe these are just the championship squad quarterbacks of the year, because like it felt like everybody was asking about the same group of guys. It's just they were all in different combinations with each other. So we'll probably go through all those pretty quickly. But one that does kind of stand out here first comes to us from Mr. Tobias Amberger at LightWelpE on Twitter. I guarantee you I did not pronounce that correctly in terms of his at there. But Tobias here has locked in Cam Ward as his first quarterback, and he wants to know what he should do in the second spot between Jackson Dart, who's going up against Mississippi State this weekend, or Tyler Huff, quarterback out of Jacksonville State, going up against Western Kentucky, or we can go with Garrett Green, the quarterback out of West Virginia, going up against Texas Tech. So, Nate, I'll throw it over to you first, man. Which quarterback are you going with?
Yeah, I like a lot of these options. I mean, clearly this is a stacked roster for sure. I think process elimination here, Garrett Green is just too much of a wild card. I think at this point he's been too up and down this season, and honestly probably more down than up, even though I love that matchup they have, Texas Tech, correct?
Yes.
So that's a great matchup, but for me I have to narrow it down to these two of Huff and Jackson Dart. It's tough. I think I would lean Jackson Dart, even though the Egg Bowl just gets real weird sometimes and you never know what you're going to get out of it. But I think Lane Kiffin needs one of those statement games to say, hey, we're still in this playoff race. Don't forget about us. Let's go hang 60 plus on our rival and just, leave that in the minds of the playoff committee before conference championship week. So I'll go Jackson Dart here, narrowly edging out Huff.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's down between Huff and Dart. Like you said, Green, between his injury, just between the team performance in general, like how is Neil Brown up? How is he not fired as a head coach yet? I think just to kind of give a difference of opinion here, I'll go with Huff. And mostly I'll go with the fact that Huff's legs, like, obviously Dart has his own rushing ability, like no doubt about that, right? But Huff is somebody who's a lot more reliant on his legs, and I think that in a game like this against Western Kentucky, like he has the possibility of ripping off, 100 plus rushing yards versus Dart. I think that provides him a nice safe floor. Obviously Dart's got the better passing there, but we've seen all year from Jacksonville State, like they're very much the same as, like you said, with Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, where they're not afraid to run it up on people, and they are not afraid they're not afraid to keep Huff and them in there. I will say, now I'm thinking about it though, man, Ole Miss does not have anything left in that backfield. Like if they're going to score touchdowns, it's going to be through Dart, whether it's him running the ball in or it's him passing the ball. Yeah, I think I'm going to change my answer. I'm going to go with Dart. Mostly because of that factor right there. Because I'm thinking like myself, I'm like, this is a game, like, Western Kentucky's run defense is not good. If I remember correctly, yeah, they're 98th in the country. So this is a game where Trey Stewart could absolutely go bananas, leaving Huff kind of on the outside there. Huff obviously could still get his in his own way, but
sure.
I think I still got to go with Dart here.
And this game versus Western Kentucky is on the road for Jacksonville State, so I do think that's a little bit of a factor too.
Is it at home for Ole Miss this year?
It is.
Okay. Yep.
Not that it matters. It's the Egg Bowl. They could play it on the moon, and it's going to be weird.
Dude, I would love nothing more than to see them play it on the moon. That would be absolutely fantastic. Like Elon Musk, make it happen, man. Like Kiffin and them would be absolutely down for that. All right, let's move on to our next really set of quarterback questions. So again, I don't normally do something like this, but I didn't want to bore everybody by just having the same names pop up over and over again. So we're basically going to kind of just talk about this group of seven quarterbacks here, Nate, and just kind of run through them real quick, kind of give our general thoughts. And so we'll start with there at the top there with Dillon Gabriel, quarterback out of Oklahoma, formerly Oklahoma, quarterback out of Oregon, going up against Washington this week. Nate, if I told you that Dillon Gabriel was a top 10 quarterback for CFF this year, would you believe me?
No, I was thinking about it. I probably wouldn't, just because I mean, I know he's been
you're,
super.
You're right not to, because he's top 16. But okay. but still, like, to me, it's kind of crazy that he's top 16, because it doesn't feel like Gabriel's really been all of that this year. Am I crazy? Like, is my vibe meter off there?
No, I feel like he's just been Mr. Consistent, which, you know, that guy that gets you between 25. You know, and 30 points each week, whereas it's different because his time at UCF in Oklahoma, he was Mr., you know, a lot of fluctuating stats. Like, I mean, in the playoffs last year for Oklahoma in the CFF playoffs is when he had that like six or seven touchdown game, and he scored just a ton of points. So, it's definitely different, but he's been solid.
What about this matchup with Washington? How do you kind of feel about this? Because he is coming off this game against Wisconsin where he had less than 10 fantasy points. Is that a troubling trend here, or is that a fluke and we ignore that?
Yeah, I think that's more probably of a fluke. He gets Tez back. It's at home. They don't have to travel halfway across the country this time like they did against Wisconsin. Washington defense has actually been really solid this year, surprisingly sneaky good. But again, Oregon is going to, you know, they're going to unload the clip here. And Dillon Gabriel is, I guess, kind of in that Heisman race. I mean, if he has a good performance, he's at least going to work his way to, you know, to New York City. Probably not going to win, but you never know. I mean, he could go crazy this week, go crazy next week, and all of a sudden some of the voters may change their mind, especially if Boise were to lose. But yeah, I don't mind this matchup, even though Washington's got a good defense.
All right, let's move on to Parker Navarro here, a guy that's been a little inconsistent the last couple of weeks. Great matchup against Kent State, scores 16 points. Next week against Eastern Michigan, an okay matchup, scores 45. Past week against Toledo, which on paper should have been a tough matchup, 27 points here. So what are we kind of expecting here against Ball State, which is arguably about just as bad or just as good of a matchup as Kent State was?
Yeah, man, Ball State's just terrible on defense. I think the thing that I would want to know in this one, what is the weather going to be like? Because we are in that time of year with Maction when weather definitely plays a factor here. I mean, I guess you have to like it. It's, you know, it's, it can't, you can't really find a worse defense right now. If you have a quarterback going up against him, and he does have high upside. So this is kind of like one of those plays where, like, if you feel like the rest of your roster is a little shaky and you need a high ceiling guy, I think that Navarro kind of provides that. If you feel like you're feeling pretty good about the rest of your lineup, then maybe you go with a more solid option. Like if it were between Navarro and Gabriel, you know, Gabriel's probably the more solid option there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is championship week, right? So like which mindset are you of, Nate? Like, again, not that you have any leagues where you're doing a ton of start and sitting and everything, but if you did have a league like that, Nate, where are you going for the more safer options, or are you going for the guys that could hit 40 points, like 40, 45 points in their matchups?
Well, it just, again, I'm the type, I'll look at my opponent and say, okay, let's handicap this thing. Do I feel like I'm sitting good here, or do I need to take some swings for the fences? So, gotcha. It just kind of depends on what the situation is.
All right. Next name up here, Gary Green. We already kind of discussed him a little bit. We're both in agreement, very much one of the more wild card quarterbacks of this bunch here. Do you have anything else you want to add to him before we kind of move on to the next guy?
No, it just, I would be nervous. I would be nervous starting him. I'm a huge Garrett Green fan, but man, it would be really hard even against Texas Tech. And I do know that from what Moxley has told us that the weather is going to be windy, and it's going to be a little bit of a challenge there in West Texas here this time of year. So he's somebody I would probably pass on.
Gotcha. Chandler Morris, quarterback out of North Texas, going up against Temple this weekend. Been on a bit of a slide recently, but kind of on the back and up here. Because obviously against Army, terrible performance, 8.26 fantasy points there. Against UTSA, probably one of the more disappointing performances of the year, considering the opponent, him scoring 16 fantasy points there. Bit of a rebound this past week against East Carolina, 26.54 fantasy points there. They go up against Temple. Temple, a little above average versus the pass, terrible against the run here. Has Morris kind of worn out his welcome over the last 3 weeks, Nate? Is he no longer that like clear start that he was the first half of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not as pretty as it was early on. I think maybe some teams are kind of catching up to the Eric Morris offense, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's so much Chandler, if it is just kind of the system there at North Texas. Temple doesn't scare me a whole lot, though, I'll be honest. This is kind of one of those, you know, you draft Chandler Morris and hopes he does well all season to have this kind of matchup. So I probably still throw him out there and think I'm getting 303 out of him.
Gotcha. It would help if he threw to DT Sheffield again. That would be nice, you know.
No doubt, man. Yeah.
Like, what the heck has been going on there the last couple of weeks? Jordan McLeod going up against South Alabama. To me, this kind of screams like, however you feel about Jordan McLeod throughout the season, like, I don't see any real difference in this matchup against South Alabama. South Alabama, like, kudos to them. Their defense looked horrendous to start this year. They very much have bounced back since then, but it's still not a defense that I'm looking at as saying, like, oh, this is going to be something that can clamp down on G.J. Kenny's offense here. Do you kind of have any additional thoughts there, Nate?
Yeah, I think you bring up a really good point with this, the South Al D. I've noticed some, like, man, they are definitely trending in a much better direction than they were at the beginning of the year. This one kind of gives me a little bit of Garrett Green vibes, just because we have seen this Texas State offense kind of fluctuate, Jordan McLeod's health kind of up and down, and they tend to spread it around. So I love the matchup on paper. I'm not 100% confident in what the actual outcome is going to be, just due to some of the volatility with that Texas State offense this year.
Gotcha. What about Haj Malik Williams going up against Nevada this week? Nevada, like, average versus the pass, horrendous against the run, bottom six in the country there against the run. Obviously, you'd figure that this is a opportunity for Williams to have a monster day on the ground, similar to what he had against Hawaii, you know, 122 yards back then. But also, we've seen Williams have good matchups against the like of, you know, San Diego State, and he only had 29 rushing yards in that game, but he made up for it in one of his better passing performances so far this year. So how do you feel about Haj Malik Williams against Nevada, Nate?
I think it's a good matchup. I mean, we can just throw out the weather game against San Jose State when it was, you know, sideways rain and crazy wind. So let's throw that one out. Outside of that, I mean, he's a guy that you can pretty much lock for, you know, 10 to 15 carries and get you one or two touchdowns on the ground. And I think everything through the air is just kind of gravy from there. So, yeah, I mean, he would, just looking at this list, I mean, he would be right there with, you know, with Chandler Morris and probably, you know, Gabriel as like some pretty safe options that I would like going into championship week matchups.
I'd probably, in my opinion, I think he might be the best one out of these options. I mean,
so.
He's top again. His total points on the year are a little deceiving because he didn't, you know, start until about a third of the way through the season, but he's top 11 in the country in fantasy points per game, right? And this is a great matchup here. I think that's about as good as you can really ask for with all these options here. Because you mentioned earlier, like, Gabriel, Washington's defense a little bit tougher than you kind of give them credit for, given all they lost last year. I'd say probably the only one I'd be maybe comfortable with is Navarro, and maybe this other guy here in Colton Joseph, who, very similar to Haj Malik Williams, didn't start until about a third to halfway through the year. He's actually top 10 in fantasy points per game this year. He gets Marshall. Or no, he doesn't get Marshall. That's an error on the graphic. He gets Arkansas State, which is even better, honestly. They're terrible against the pass and the run. So how do you feel about Colton Joseph this week? Even though I misspelled his name on the graphic there. Good Lord. All around terrible for Colton Joseph on the graphic this week.
Yeah, I mean, again, kind of like all these guys that you see on this list. I mean, these are great, you know, G5 matchups for the most part, outside of Gabriel and Garrett Green here, where it's, you know, I mean, these are all top 20 producing quarterbacks going up against bottom tier defenses. My only concerns here is that I'm not sure this becomes like a real shootout type game. Mm-hmm. Just because Arkansas State hasn't really gotten into a ton of those this year. I'd actually probably prefer they play Marshall. But this is, I mean, it's still a really nice matchup. I mean, him, Haj Malik here, probably two of my favorite starts.
All righty. So with that, we covered the seven names there, Nate. So now we can go just hop into these questions real quick, and then you can be real quick with your analysis. That way we're not spending too much time repeating too much that we've already talked about. So first one comes here from JT Gasson at AgVet06. Three quarterbacks here. He needs us to pick one in a league with 6-point passing touchdowns, 9-point rushing touchdowns for QBs, which is insane. But he's asking between Dylan Gabriel, Parker Navarro, and Garrett Green, which quarterback are you going with of those three?
Hang on. Let me wrap my head around the scoring system here. So six-point passing, 9-point rushing, pick one quarterback. Oh gosh, that 9 rushing is really messing with my head because I've never played in a league where it is, you know, skewed in that direction.
This is the kind of scoring system that makes Eric Froton cry at night, because he's just like, yes, 6-point passing touchdowns, let's go. And then you inflate the rushing touchdowns even more.
I just think, I would probably go Parker Navarro here. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying not to put too much emphasis on the rushing upside, you know, the extra 3 points you get for each rushing TD. But I mean, all things equal, I think all these guys could put up similar stats, but he is the one of these three that I think could go for, say, like 3 rushing touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He does tend to kind of vulture around the he tends to vulture around the goal line. So and I don't think Ball State's going to put up much of a resistance here. So yeah, give me Parker Navarro in this situation.
I think Navarro has all three things you need here, right? You got a dual threat quarterback in a good matchup you got a dual threat quarterback in a good matchup, because Gabriel, again, right. I don't love the matchup there against. Oh, and he's a good health. That's the other thing, right? Well, I mean, he's kind of been banged up a little bit, but not to the degree that like Garrett Green has been, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what kind of makes me lean towards Navarro there. Next question comes to us from Dennis. At Dennis, whole bunch of numbers. Pick one quarterback between Morris, Navarro, and McLeod. I'm going to assume Sanders scoring here.
Mm-hmm.
So which quarterback are you going with out of these three? I'm still personally leaning towards Navarro, given the matchup and everything. What do you think, Nate? Does your mind change?
Is that North Texas game in Denton, or is that at Temple?
Let me check.
Versus
it is
Temple,
it is at Temple.
At Temple.
Now that Temple has an incredible home field advantage.
Right. Yeah. No, I know. I just one of those things. That's how close some of these are for me. I think I'm still going with Chandler Morris. Even though he's been a little up and down lately, I think I just like that situation. Temple's a bit of a disaster right now. I think I just trust him a hair more than Parker Navarro and Jordan McLeod right now. All three of these. I mean, you can't. This can't go wrong. You know what I mean? Like these are great matchups. Top 20 quarterbacks.
I would say McLeod's the only one where, again, you kind of touched on it earlier, Nate, where I think that's the only one you can really kind of see potentially things going wrong there, just because, like you said, of how much, not only does that offense fluctuate in, you know, just quality in general, like how many points they're putting up, but in terms of who's scoring those points every single week,
Right.
Morris and Navarro, you can pretty clearly say like those guys are going to be the ones that score points unless, you know, a Shane Porter comes out of nowhere again.
We think this Brad Jackson like two game run that he had there, that was just because McLeod was banged up, right? Like,
yeah, like
we didn't really see much of him last week, I want to say.
No, I think that's just because he was banged up. They're trying to save McLeod a little bit there. I will say Jackson's very interesting for, you know, dynasty purposes.
Sure. Yeah, I was just trying to think, okay, is there any scenario here where GJ Kinney does the whole quarterback thing where he lets Brad Jackson basically run a wildcat offense and McLeod just comes in to throw the ball. So
I mean,
I doubt that happens, but because we didn't see that really happen last week, but it's a little, it sticks in the back of my mind.
Well, the fact that that's even a possibility is a tiebreaker here, right? If you really believe all three of these guys are close, like why would you go with a guy that's even a possibility? Yeah. Awood Sports 6-point passing touchdown league, Haj Malik Williams versus Dylan Gabriel. I'm going Haj Malik Williams. I already said that. I think that's one of my favorite starts out of this group of seven here. Are you of the same mindset there, Nate?
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you on that one. Again, it's probably closer for me than it is for you. I also just think, when's this Dylan Gabriel blow up game going to happen? What if it's this week? But Washington's a good defense. Let's play it safe here and go with Haj Malik.
All right, last quarterback question here from Brandon Christensen at Real Belt Guy on Twitter. PPR league, not sure how that affects quarterbacks unless you think any of these guys are catching touchdowns this weekend. Chandler Morris, Parker Navarro, Colton Joseph. I'll throw this one over to you first, Nate, because you basically said all three of these guys are start worthy for you. How do you pick between these three?
I'm enamored with what the Old Dominion offenses look like since they have made the quarterback switch. It's one of those what the hell were you thinking type things that they didn't do this sooner. Give me Colton Joseph. Even though I don't know that there's a ton of shootout potential, I think he's going to get all the points.
So I did look it up, Nate, and that over under in that game is 58.5 with
Old Dominion.
Old Dominion being -4. So Vegas is expecting not full blown shootout, UTSA North Texas kind of deal, but you know, solidly both teams entering the high 20s, you know, low 30s potentially here. So
yeah,
I agree with you. This is so tough. I think Morris of the three here is the one I'm the least likely to start. And my projections actually show that with Morris at 24, Navarro at 29, and Joseph at 35. I think I'm going to agree with you, Nate, and I'm going to lean with my projections here as well. And I'll go Joseph of these three as well. All right. That's all of the quarterbacks. Let's move on to some running back questions and go back to our normal format here and kind of break it down question by question here. Because again, you guys, you saw that, Nate, where it was like the same guys popping up over and over again. And I was just like, let's just talk about all these guys at once and then we'll run through the questions real quick. But now we'll move on to running back questions here. This one comes to us from Brett Price at Brett Price 25 on Twitter. He is asking us to start one of these three running backs here in the flex position. Not that really matters, but Darius Taylor going up against Wisconsin, Lee BB going up against Charlotte, or we can go Braden Bennett going up against Georgia State. I think the easy sit for me among these three, which is I'm actually going against my projections here, but I think the easy sit's Darius Taylor, right? We've seen kind of a slide the last couple of weeks here, you know, 10 carries, 28 yards and a touchdown versus Rutgers, 17, 58 and no touchdowns versus Penn State last week. Granted, both Rutgers and Penn State are pretty solid rushing defenses, so I'm not going to hold that against them too much. But guess what? Actually, Wisconsin's rushing defense ain't all that great either. But
yeah,
rivalry game here. Darius Taylor, I think the volume's starting to catch up with him a little bit towards the end here, especially in those tougher, more physical matchups against Penn State and Rutgers. I'd rather take a look at, you know, Lee BB, who has really finally started to get the production and the volume that we were kind of expecting earlier this year. Again, I think Dilfer's really trying to save his job here. So go back to the old mantra of, hey, just get the best players your ball. You got a great matchup there against Charlotte, who is, you know, 118th versus the run. But you also got Braden Bennett, who's going up against Georgia State, who's, you know, 120th versus the run. And Braden Bennett, man, do you think that Braden Bennett's usage, Nate, was part of the reason why Coastal Carolina fired their offensive coordinator. Because pretty much ever since that offensive coordinator got hired, Bennett's been getting a crap ton more volume over these last three games. And quite frankly, it's the reason why I'm kind of leaning towards him in this question here. Because I think he's the best player of these three. I think now that he's getting the volume, he's going to get the production that we really want to see out of a CFF running back. So I'm going to lean towards Bennett here, but I'm curious your thoughts on that, Nate, and then also which one are you starting of these three?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the reason why they made the coordinator change, but clearly the new coordinator, the new play caller favors Bennett and likes what he sees from him, and he's kind of got the hot hand. I'll actually disagree with you a little bit here. I will go with Lee BB. And this definitely goes against one of kind of my rules when it comes to championship week, and that is, you know, don't just sit your studs. But I'm not sure that I'm even categorizing Darius Taylor in that bona fide stud matchup proof type guy anymore. I mean, it's just he's banged up. That offense is just it's limited, you know, and if you have a decent enough defense, then they can kind of limit him. So give me Lee BB, man. I think Charlotte's defense is a total sieve, especially from a rushing perspective. I mean, Campbell for FAU recently had 150 yards on him. So I think Lee BB with his kind of emergence recently has been enough to make me think that he's got a chance. And he also, you know, just like these other two guys, but he also catches the ball pretty well out of the backfield. So it does kind of give him a nice floor. But I think he could legit go for, you know, one of those big, you know, 40 point output kind of games.
Not to get too off topic here, but I'm going to fight at least myself against the mantra of start your studs in playoff weeks, because that killed me this past week. I knew that I shouldn't trust the weather in that San Jose State game, and I was like, no.
Oh yeah, man, weather is always.
I'm like, but it's Nick Nash and Lockhart. They've been great for me right. The last couple of weeks. I knew that matchup against Oklahoma was bad for Jalen Milroe. I knew that Oklahoma had a really solid defense, but I'm like, no, Milroe's been able to overcome that more than once this year. I'm still riding with him. Killed me in King's Classic.
Man, I can't fault you. I mean, what are you going to do? Sit Nick Nash? I mean, come on. Like, if he goes for 150 and two, you're like, okay, cool. I sat Nick Nash in the semifinals and all he did was just be Nick Nash. So, I mean, it's tough, man. The weather thing's just, that's just a bad hand that you got, you know?
And then, but like the King's Classic really hurt me because like I knew that CJ Ogbonna had himself a nice matchup as well. And I was just like, oh, like I could. But Milroe could go for 50. Well, Ogbonna went for like 40. And then I was like, well, crap. Because now I don't really expect Milroe to get 40 points versus Oklahoma's defense. And, well, he got way less than that. But yeah, I think I'll be harder on myself next year to be more willing to sit my studs in that case. Next question here. This one comes to us from Shane Volk at SVolk2713 on Twitter. Full PPR league here. Pick one running back between Mario Anderson or Breshard Smith. Anderson going up against Tulane. Smith going up against Cal. Two bona fide studs here, Nate. Two not so great matchups for week 13 championship week here, Nate. So how are you kind of parsing between these two guys here?
I think I'm going... Now, they are... SMU is at Cal, is that right?
I do believe so, in which case that is a yeah. far...
Yes, it's a trek.
It's at SMU.
Oh, okay. I'm going Breshard Smith here. And, you know, this, you know, Mario Anderson's sit your studs situation here. Yeah, but I mean, Breshard Smith has proven to be just as much of a stud as Mario Anderson really this year. Yeah, I think I like Breshard Smith in this situation. Cal's defense has been kind of up and down. Tulane's defense has been all the way up pretty much all year when they're not facing a Power 4 team. So give me Breshard Smith, and I actually feel pretty confident about this one.
So I agree with you that, again, Anderson's been the bigger stud at the running back position. You know, he's RB7 on the year. Breshard Smith sitting there at RB14. So on that front, you might lean Anderson, but again, I agree with you that Tulane's a tougher matchup. Here's my thought on this, Shane. I don't know how strict your league is when it comes to these position eligibility, because Rashard Smith is wide receiver eligible in most leagues, and if you look at it, where he ranks among wide receivers, he's wide receiver two on the year, technically, even though he doesn't play wide receiver. But if that's still available to you, how do you not slide Rashard Smith into one of your wide receiver spots, especially when, and I'm going to discuss this in the end of the year article that John Lobb puts up, this has been a very lackluster year for wide receivers in CFF for the most part, right? There's not been a ton of truly elite guys outside of Nick Nash, and even he's fallen off the second half of the season here. So when you have a guy like Rashard Smith that's going to get 20 plus carries in this game, just stick him in one of the wide receiver spots, play Anderson, and just go with that. I think that that's the way you go about this more than anything else. If you have to play one of these guys at running back, I would go Rashard Smith. But I would double check your lineup and check your eligibility rules there, Shane. Let's see. Next question here comes to us from Dan Miller. Start two running backs here, Nate. Full PPR league. We got Dean Connors going up against South Florida, which is horrendous versus the run. You got Eli Sanders going up against Hawaii, whose defense has been up and down, but mostly up, I would say, at least compared to most Mountain West competition. And then Raheem Sanders going up against Clemson, very much similar as Hawaii. We're up and down, mostly up, but very much have had some really bad performances as well throughout the year. So, Nate, which two are you going with here?
Oh, I didn't see this. Yeah, so pick two. Eli Sanders, Raheem Sanders, the Sanders duo. Yep, Eli and Raheem Sanders are the two that I'll go with. I do not trust Dean Connors. If I had to, I love Dean Connors in best ball formats because I don't have to guess when his big game is coming. But even though he catches the ball really well, he could be game scripted out of this South Florida game so fast. I mean, South Florida has actually been kind of, they've been kind of throttling people lately. And I would worry that Dean Connors and this terrible Rice squad could be down, 24-3 at halftime or something like that, and you're left holding the bag with nothing there. So yeah, give me Eli Sanders. He's been money lately. I mean, he's really been good the last few weeks. Hawaii doesn't scare me that much. I love having that late night hammer too. You're like the last thing to go. And then Rocket, boy, I tell you what, Rocket's been so much better this year than what I thought he would be. He lost that weight and he has looked good. Clemson's good, and there's a chance he's game scripted out of this too, but not quite the same Clemson defense that we've seen historically.
No, I agree with you. And again, you don't have to go back that far to find a game where Sanders performed decently well versus a tougher defense like Mizzou just a couple of weeks ago. Like, he was able to put up 15-ish fantasy points and half PPR performance in that game. And as you mentioned, Nate, like Mizzou's defense is, in my opinion, great, not elite, but better than good. Clemson's defense, I'd say, is still good, even though they're not as good as they have been. So if he can get 15 points in that game, I think we can easily project Sanders into the 17, 18 point range, which is where both my projections and C2C's projections have him at. I have him at 18.5. C2C projections have him at 19.7. So I think that's perfectly reasonable to expect out of him. I agree with you that between the two Sanders guys, neither of them also have to deal with the coaching change right now. It's so difficult to try to project what's going on with these teams when their head coach is fired, right? Does the squad give up? Is the squad elated that, their head coach is gone, they can move on, that maybe he was a toxic force in the locker room and now they can all, band together without that negative energy there? It's difficult to tell. I think that's too much of a risk there with Dean Connors. I appreciate your point again about how, again, he could be game scripted out as well. I agree with you. Give me the Sanders duo in this scenario.
Yep.
Question from Nick Farley here. Nick Farley 10 on Twitter. Full PPR league here. Start one running back in what I assume is a pretty deep league here. You got Tyson Lawton, running back out of Indiana, going up against Purdue. You got CJ Donaldson, running back out of West Virginia, going up against Texas Tech. Or we can go with TJ Harden, running back at a UCLA, going up against Fresno State. Lawton and Donaldson are very interesting to me because they're so their profiles for this week are so similar. These are two guys that have been very inconsistent. You could be bottom barrel kind of guys here, performances, but they got great matchups. Purdue is, you know, bottom five in the country versus the run. Mm-hmm. You got Texas Tech, who's, you know, not quite that bad, but still pretty bad at 92nd in the country versus the run, right? Donaldson, we know he's an explosive guy. He can absolutely have himself a really nice game like he did against UCF this past week, you know, 19-96-2. Or we get to get a game like with Jaheim White, right, where he gets the ball, he's the hot hand, and now, you know, Donaldson's left holding the bag with, you know, 9 carries, 60 yards versus Baylor, maybe not even a touchdown in that scenario. And then you got TJ Harden just kind of sitting here at the end. And of these three, he's got the volume, man. Like, he has got 20 carries, 2 catches against Iowa, 13 carries, 6 catches versus Washington, 14 carries, 3 catches versus USC. Problem is, like, no touchdowns, man. Just no touchdowns over the last 3 weeks. And part of me is wondering, like, do I trust the touchdown regression potentially here? Because on paper, UCLA's talent should be able to overmatch Fresno State's. I haven't checked what the line is on this game. I'm curious to see what. So Vegas has UCLA as an 8-point favorite here. So they do expect UCLA to win this game. And if that is the case, I do think that is a golden opportunity for Harden to earn some much badly needed touchdowns that he's had over the last couple of weeks. Again, full PPR, easily of these three options, like, Harden has the most catches. You're talking about 11 catches over the last 3 weeks versus Lawton's got 3. Donaldson's got 1. As I kind of talk myself through this, I think it's Harden, and I think it's pretty easily Harden. I think there's way too much risk between Donaldson and Lawton. What do you think, Nate?
Yeah, I agree. I'm with you. It's just, it's so hard to bet your championship hopes on somebody that's in a split backfield. And I mean, like, really evenly split, even if their matchup is really nice. UCLA's matchup is also really nice, all things considered. And TJ Harden, at least for the last few weeks, has had that backfield pretty much to himself. So this is just kind of one of those times where I they're all a little icky, but give me the guy with the volume, and I'll feel like I at least, you know, followed that path and didn't shoot myself in the foot for a title chance.
I agree. All right, next question comes up to us from Benjamin Jacob. Shout out to Benjamin. He's been a longtime listener of the show, very loyal listener. Running back question here, start 1, half point PPR here. Desmond Reed, running back out of Pittsburgh, going up against Boston College, or Dylan Carson, running back out of Air Force, going up against San Diego State, or we can go with George Pettaway, running back out of James Madison, going up against Marshall. I will start this off by saying that Carson, I do believe, got hurt in Air Force's game last week. And so, because he only had 14 carries, and if I remember correctly, I got a message from, I think it was Brett Pagny, said he was watching that game and said that Carson was pulled early in that game. So I do think that's something to consider here, because I think otherwise, like, that San Diego State matchup, they're terrible against the run. Carson, you know, getting pretty much locked in for 20-plus carries if he plays the full game seems like great, but I do think that is a injury situation you have to keep an eye on, which is unfortunate because Air Force's coaching staff is never straightforward about those things.
Right.
So, Nate, with that in mind, what are you kind of feeling between Reed, Carson, and Pettaway?
I think I like Reed the most. I don't love them playing BC, because BC, man, they just kind of grind things down to just kind of a screeching halt, and those games get really short and they kind of control the clock. Where's that game at? Is that in is that up in Chestnut Hill, or is that in Pittsburgh? Do you know?
That is in Chestnut Hill.
Ugh, I think I will still go with Reed. I was trying to look. What is I'm looking at the Marshall defense here. Ooh, that's pretty rough, man. Nah, I'm gonna I'm too scared about the injury situation with Carson that you told me about there, so I'm gonna eliminate him. I think I'm gonna go with Petaway. I can see JMU getting a lead on Marshall and then trying to kind of lean on the run game just because Barnett's been a little up and down. So I think I'm gonna lean towards Petaway here, even though that's been a little bit of a split backfield that kind of worries me. I'm really torn between him and Reed in this situation. I wish I could help you out better here, Benjamin, because I know you're a hell of an owner. He put together a really, really good squad in the 2014 dynasty that I'm playing. I had to beat him in the semifinals, and he had a great team. So I wish I could help him out more here, but I think I'll lean Petaway just by a nose.
I think Petaway is the safest option of this bunch here as well. Again, Marshall's been very consistently bad against the run all year. Petaway's really kind of turned into a very solid producing back there for James Madison. He hasn't really hit the 100-yard mark in a while, but even still, right? Like, he's very clearly like locked in that backfield to himself now. Reed, man, I love the volume, man, but this Pitt offense is just in complete free fall, even with Holstein kind of coming back in now. I don't think it's an offense you can really trust at all. Right now, again, they've hit 20 points once in the last three games, and that was barely against Clemson. That effort versus Clemson literally took everything I think Pittsburgh had in them. Like, if you did you watch that game versus like Pitt Clemson, Nate? Because
Just bits and pieces. I
oh
didn't
my,
sit down.
I had it on, and let me tell you, that was one of the longest games of my life. Just punt after punt after punt after punt, and then both teams decide to score at like the very end. Like, it took everything both teams had to get those points up. So yeah, no,
Here's another thing that kind of helps Petaway. Last week, Old Dominion ran for I think 256 yards against Marshall. And just a few weeks ago before that, still in November here, UL Monroe, the only other like decent team that they've faced lately, ran for like 225 yards against Marshall. So I mean, I think there's probably opportunity there to kind of get some good production against that run defense.
Yeah, I agree. Versus over here with Boston College, like you said, they're throttling. They're
Oh, yeah.
top 20 versus the run, actually. I probably should have brought that up. So that's just another. But they're
And
also,
Reed's very good in the pass game.
that's what I was about to say. Yeah, Reed can get his points elsewhere, especially in a half PPR format. If this is a full point PPR, might lean a bit more towards Reed because of that. But half point PPR, I'll probably go with Petaway because he can catch decently out of the backfield as well. All right. Let's move on to some wide receiver questions here, Nate. Ignore the pictures because I just realized that those are horrifically wrong. But this one comes to us from Austin Smith at CFB Headgear on Twitter. Three wide receivers here between Ricky White going up against Nevada, Luther Burden going up against Arkansas, and then you got Jordan Tyson going up against Arizona. Full point PPR league here. Again, not to get too off topic here, but I will say I was slightly biffed by people last week in that San Jose State UNLV game where I was complaining about Nick Nash and Justin Lockhart bottoming out, and I had a couple people in the comments being like, "Oh yeah, man, I had Ricky White too, man, like that sucked." And I'm looking at it over here being like, White has seven catches, 89 yards. That's nothing. Are you kidding me? It's like going up to your friends to your friend whose father just died, and you're being like, "Oh man, yeah, I understand. Like, my hamster got sick last week. It sucks." It's like, come on, people, really? Anyway, enough of my ranting there, Nate. Who are you going with between these three?
I'm going with Ricky White. I'm going to toss out the weather game, and I watched every snap of that crazy weather game with San Jose. And Ricky White, like you said, I mean, he still put up basically 15 fantasy points in that game. He dropped multiple big plays or big catches too. I mean, he should have had more, but he kept dropping the ball, probably due to the rain. But I think this is a prime bounce back spot for him against Nevada. I mean, I love Jordan Tyson and what he's done recently. I mean, almost 30 targets over his last two games is hard to deny. In fact, I was putting together my dynasty wide receiver rankings, the top five that I posted on Blue Sky, and I'm just like, Am I really going to have Jordan Tyson as like a top five dynasty wide receiver? I guess so. Yeah. And
He's been legit.
he's been awesome. And the connection that he has with Sam Levitt is really impressive. But this is for me, this is a sit your stud or sit your stud, a start your stud situation. And I'm gonna go with Ricky White. And I think he's in line for, at least 100 and a touchdown as kind of a floor here.
I definitely think
Burden's
Luke.
not even in the question for me.
No, Burden. How disappointing has that Mizzou offense been this year, man? Like, not just even with Brady Cook out there, like they return so much. They get Burden back, and like, I don't know what happened with Kirby Moore this year, man. But it's just not been the same as it was last year. Maybe defense has kind of caught up to him a little bit in the SEC, but it just hadn't been the same.
They play all the worst teams in the SEC. Their schedule is a joke this year.
Exactly, which it makes it
They're
even less sense.
Yeah, their line hasn't been very good this year. They've kind of been disappointed in how their offensive line play's been, and Brady Cook clearly is the drop off from QB1 to QB2 is enormous there. So
Is
him being
enormous,
kind
but
of
like Cook wasn't doing that great. Again, you can blame it on the line as well, but I also wonder if like Cook was just kind of getting old, right? Like, he's this, what, 6 year guy this year?
It's the college guy that's past his prime.
That's what I'm saying.
Get that mantle walker and get your butt
I
back out
think
there.
that's a thing though, right? Like, because some guys age better than others, especially when you have injuries, right? So like, you're
Yeah.
laughing over here because I'm talking about a 24-year-old being like this old geezer over here. Anyway, I agree with you that Burden is definitely the least appetizing option of these three. Austin, I gotta know what other wide receivers you're starting, because like White and Tyson to me both, if you're starting more, it like if you're starting two wide receivers, I don't know how you don't start those two compared to like other options right now.
Yeah.
Like you're talking about two of the biggest studs in the game right now.
Yeah,
I talked
it
about
better
how.
be like yeah, it better be like Williams, Kyle Williams or Nick Nash or something like that.
I would say Nick Nash, but like even Kyle Williams, right? Like I'd probably put Tyson and White over him like in this week. Because again, great matchups here for both of them, right? Again, Tyson, Arizona's defense is absolute joke. Nevada, again, they're pretty decent versus the pass, but when you got Ricky White, who's getting 40%+ of the targets for UNLV, it's hard not to go with that. I don't care how good the
Yeah.
defense he's facing is. So yeah, I personally lean towards Tyson out of these two just because of Nevada being able to slow down the passing game just a little bit, but I don't know how you don't have both of these guys in your lineups. Next question here from Mr. Ovis, which welcome back, Mr. Ovis. You used to give us start sit questions all the time last year, so I'm glad you're back, man. Half point PPR start one, and looks like a pretty deeper league here between Evan Stewart going up against Washington, Isaiah Bond going up against Texas A&M, or Aaron Anderson going up against Oklahoma, Nate. So who is your pick of these three?
Dear God, if I had to start Isaiah Bond in the championship game right now with how he's played over the last month, I would just be really impressed that I made it to the championship game, I guess, because that would be terrible. Give me the talent. Give me Evan Stewart. This is a situation where none of these this has got to be kind of a deeper league. Obviously, if you're in the title game with these is your options. So I think Stewart has proven he's got the most blowout potential. He's in the best offense. Maybe they just kind of ease Tez Stewart back. I don't know, or Tez Johnson back, and Evan Stewart remains the primary guy. So yeah, give me Evan Stewart, and it's really not that close for me.
I would agree with you because none of these matchups are great,
Right.
but we've seen with Tez Johnson down, right, with Evan Stewart last couple of weeks. Again, like you said, we haven't seen that true blowout game. He hasn't hit, 90, or he hasn't hit 100 yards in any of these three games, which is a little disappointing to be honest, given what we've seen out of this offense in the past. But seven targets, 12 targets. Nice to see that, obviously, versus Bond, 4 or 5 targets a game. Absolutely not. Not in a matchup where he's on the road
No,
against that
no.
Texas A&M defense. Absolutely not. Aaron Anderson, I think, is a little closer between Anderson and Stewart than you're kind of letting on there, because I think Anderson has the safest floor probably of these guys. But as we saw with that performance from Oklahoma this past week, right? They are that defense is pretty solid. Now, granted, I think Nussmeier is a much better passing quarterback than what we've seen out of Milroe recently, but also at the same time, that LSU squad's very much on quit watch right now. Again, they have very much regressed the second half of the season here. I would not be surprised at all if they're kind of limping into this game versus Oklahoma. They're coming off the high of the Bama win. I have no clue what to expect out of Oklahoma this week, man. Like, they could be in the biggest hangover spot ever, or they could be riding that momentum all the way into next year, given that big win over Alabama. So,
yeah,
I think I'm still going to lean towards Stewart here with you, and we'll move on. Next question here comes to us from Save 775780178849. Because apparently the first 775781748 of these ats were all taken. anyway, start one wide receiver between these three guys here today. Eric Rivers going up against Middle Tennessee, Pat Bryant versus Northwestern, or Justin Lockhart going up against Stanford here. I like the matchup for all three of these guys. Again, half point PPR, by the way. I think all three of these guys could get you really good weeks here. Eric Rivers has been phenomenal the last couple of weeks. Again, you're talking about 34 targets over three games here. You know, easily close to 400 yards over three games, six touchdowns in the last three games. He's just been a monster for FIU. Clear go-to guy there. And you get Middle Tennessee as your matchup this week. Again, for those of you at home, like, for my projections, I give each defense like a rating, right? Middle Tennessee's passing defense is rated lower than what I have my average FCS opponent. Like, just to give you an idea how bad they are against the pass. Yeah. Rivers should once again feast this upcoming weekend. It should be a great weekend for him. Easily the safest option among these three. Nate, do you disagree?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say easily, because Pat Bryant's been pretty awesome, and Northwestern's not very good either. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, Eric Rivers has been a top, 5 to 10 wide receiver over the last month, 2 months of the season. So he's got the volume. He's got an incredible matchup. I definitely would eliminate Justin Lockhart from this conversation. I mean, he's the clear wide receiver two on his own team out of these other two. And Pat Bryant, I do think two things concern me. I do think Franklin is going to be back for Illinois this week. I think part of why he was such a big target hog last week is because Franklin got dinged up. And they're playing that game. I know it's technically Northwestern's home game. I don't know if that's the one they're playing on the lake at their makeshift field, or if they're playing it in Wrigley Field. I think they may be. I'm not sure. Either way, man, Chicago this time of year, that wind, don't love it. Give me Eric Rivers. Yeah.
All right. Two more questions here, Nate. Then we'll be out of here. We got two flex questions here. First one comes to us from Brian Lotion on Twitter at BLotion68. Non-PPR league, pick two between these three options. Cam Coleman, wide receiver out of Auburn, going up against Bama. LaJonte Wester, wide receiver out of Colorado, going up against Oklahoma State. Or we can go with DeMond Claiborne, running back out of Wake Forest, going up against Duke. Nate, I'll throw this one over to you first. Who are you going with in these options?
That's tough, because you got the freshman that's been, red hot the last couple of weeks versus a guy that's been pretty consistent, and then you get the running back, which has been good. Duke also kind of likes to kind of really grind things down a little bit too, similar to Boston College. I think I'm actually going to go, I think I'm going to go Wester here.
Yeah, pick two, by the way.
Huh?
Yeah, pick two.
Oh, it's pick two. Pick two. Interesting. Non-PPR. Oh, man, not PPR.
It was PPR, I'd probably lean towards the wide receivers, but non-PPR makes this a lot more tough.
Yeah, give me Claiborne. And I love what I've seen from Cam Coleman lately. It's hard to kind of sit him based off what he's done. But I do think, boy, are you really going to trust Peyton Thorne to to be the quarterback that gets him the ball in such a big game against Alabama. Alabama's pissed off right now.
On the road at Alabama as well.
I mean, that's just, boy, that's a lot to, that's probably a lot to ask. So give me the two guys that have been more consistent throughout the year. Oklahoma State defense. Oof, boy, they are real bad right now. They forget quit watch. Boy, they quit like 4 weeks ago. And then Claiborne, I mean, Wake Forest versus Duke, probably not going to be a super high scoring game, but Claiborne, you can guarantee is going to be the focal point of that offense. So I'll go with those two.
Yeah, honestly, I think a matchup like this against Duke actually favors Claiborne a little bit because Dave
Stays
Claus,
close.
I would say, stays close. Dave Clawson is so quick when he feels like the game gets into a shootout to just kind of put the ball in Bachmeier's hands, which can help Claiborne a little bit with the PPR and stuff. But, like, again, non-PPR game here or non-PPR league here. I agree with you. I'll probably lean towards Claiborne because I typically lean towards running backs, especially stud running backs with good volume in standard scoring here. I want, like I said, like you said, I want to believe in Cam Coleman so much over the last couple of weeks. And I do think he's going to get his opportunities this weekend, right? If Auburn's going to upset Bama, they need Coleman to go off like he has
No
the
doubt.
last 2 weeks, right? So they're going to try to get the ball in his hand. I'm not worried about the volume. It's just a matter of, is Bama going to be able to clamp down on that? Are they going to be able to affect Peyton Thorne? Versus, I have no issue believing in Shedeur Sanders licking his chops at this Oklahoma State secondary right now, knowing the fact that, hey, we want to try to get both Hunter and Shedeur into the Heisman conversation. They're going to light up Oklahoma State this weekend. So I think I'll go Wester. I'll go Claiborne with you as well. Again, as much as I want to believe in Coleman. And I will say, the last couple of weeks for Coleman absolutely have been, please don't transfer targets. Like
Oh, he's not gonna transfer. They got too much money.
I don't know, man. I don't know. They don't fix that
Dude,
quarterback situation. They're gonna.
have you seen them like flipping these high four-star and five-star players? And I'm like, what on earth about Hugh Freeze and this team would convince a four or five star to go there? And it's like, yeah, the money. I mean, they got tons of it. Like they didn't spend on a quarterback last year, and they're just taking that 1.5 million and dispersing it elsewhere. So
Yeah,
I don't think he's going anywhere.
they need to spend on a quarterback this year because I don't think they can
Oh
survive
yeah.
another year with the likes of Peyton Thorne.
Yeah.
All right, last question here comes to us from Shady Sports at Shady underscore sports on Twitter. Also has Devon Claiborne in his question here, although he does not say whether it's standard or PPR. But he's also thrown in Andrew Armstrong, the wide receiver out of Arkansas going up against Mizzou. Or we can go with your boy Isaac Brown, running back out of Louisville, going up against Kentucky this week in eight. So start one between Armstrong, Isaac Brown, or Demond Claiborne. Who are you going with, Nate?
This is tough. Kentucky's run defense has been really good this year, haven't they?
69th.
60. Okay. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm trying to think who didn't who oh it was Texas last week. That's right. They played Texas last week, and Trey Wisner kind of went off on them. This is start your stud situation for me. I mean, although Claiborne, it's close between Claiborne and Isaac Brown here. Claiborne has been probably more consistent, but give me Isaac Brown. I think they at least don't get game scripted out of this thing. It's probably close the whole way, and they kind of start to lean on the run game in the second half. So I'll take Isaac Brown here.
Yeah, it's Armstrong is a clear sit. I think we both agree. It's down between the two running backs here. I don't know, man. Like Isaac Brown, when he's on, he's so on. But with
When has
his,
he not been on outside of the one injury game?
well, that's the question is like is he still dealing with that injury? Obviously, if you look at his last week's game, that's clearly not the case, right? But you and I both know that once you get injured once, that's just something that kind of hangs over your head a little bit. Versus Claiborne's just been an absolute, train the whole year. Like he hasn't gotten injured or anything like that. I think I'm still going to lean towards Isaac Brown just because he gets more out of the backfield, although he hasn't really gotten a lot of targets in recent weeks. But and Claiborne's actually got more targets, so now I'm maybe talking to myself. No. No. What I'm going to do, I'm going to look. Let me look at what Vegas says about these games. I should have written this down. All right. Duke, Wake Forest, over under 52. And then Louisville, Kentucky is actually 48.5. So Wake Forest, Duke, actually the higher expected scoring game of these two. So I'll let that be my deciding factor. I'll start Claiborne here.
Yeah. So. I think both are really, really solid options.
Projections wise, I should throw this out. Both my projections and C2C's projections have Claiborne a little bit higher. Mine barely higher. It has Claiborne at 17.4 with Isaac Brown at 17.1. C2C's projections a little bit more of a gap, but not too crazy. Isaac Brown is 17.1 and Claiborne at 19 points. So
yeah, I mean, I think Claiborne's probably the safer play. I think if you're not blinded by the love of Isaac Brown like I am, Claiborne's probably the smarter play here.
No, fair enough. All right, that is it. We have run through like 20 questions here. Again, appreciate all of you guys for submitting questions all year long. It's been an absolute blast with me and Justin and now Nate coming on here for the final show here. Nate, before we get out of here, man, like, what are you working on? Obviously, you got your CFF Nation, but you got anything you're doing in the works maybe for the off season you want to tease out there? We got our Defending the Natty show that we'll still be doing year round. Again, next month, you and I are going to be discussing some initial 2025 dynasty rankings, or kind of really just updating our rankings for everything that's happened throughout this year.
Mm-hmm.
And then what does that kind of look like going forward? So that'll be a great show for y'all to tune into. If you want some hot takes, go and check out this month's Defending the Natty, where we had Justin Leo, aka Volume Pigs, on. That was a ton of fun. Did I steal all the thunder, Nate? You got anything else you're working on out there?
No, I mean, I think you got it. The Pulse of the Nation just landed on campuscanton.com as we were recording this. So if you're listening, it's out there. You can check out week 14. Try to keep it as relevant to championship week as possible. And I'll probably have a couple more Pulse articles coming out after this week that are more kind of big picture focused and less on the season, since this is the final week for CFF. But yeah, I mean, obviously check out Defending the Natty, man. It's a lot of fun. It's a good listen. And if you're ready to kind of turn the page from 2024 to 25, we'll have lots of good discussion going on there.
I would love nothing more than for Pulse of the CFF Nation to become a year-round piece of content from you, Nate.
I do a couple off-season Pulse articles just to kind of keep it going, but it's not something I can keep hammering out every single week.
No. But if we could get it like, you know, once a month, I mean, like, that'd be pretty great.
That's probably fair.
So, all righty. Well, appreciate all of you guys out there. Again, like I said, we'll have a Defending the Natty episode. This is the last actual episode of Chasing Natty for this calendar year. We'll be back in January. You know, plenty of things to talk about regarding, you know, the playoff at that point will still be going on. We'll have transfers out the wazoo, coaching changes. We'll be back with all of that. But for right now, I can't thank you guys enough for another very successful year of Chasing Natty. It's been an absolute blast with you guys. Hope you guys all win your championship matchups this week. You guys have all earned it. You've worked hard to get this point. Don't let anybody tell you differently. This is a hard game and requires a lot of time and a lot of effort. And you guys should be proud, one, for even making it to this point, but two, especially if you win your championships, very much you should revel in it. It is a fantastic accomplishment what you guys have done. So until then, appreciate all the support, appreciate all of you guys, and we'll see you guys here in the new year. Until then, y'all have a blessed holiday season. See y'all.